Well, I'll say good morning again to everyone. So this is our last service for the year. Next week we're off. In fact, the landlady that we, you know, the lady that rents this place out to us, a couple of weeks ago, she goes, "Pastor Benson, aren't you going to have a day off?" And she almost like, I mean, she almost insinuated that she was going to like lock me out. Maybe every other person could come. So basically on for Christmas, I just thought, well, the transportation will be a bit out of order, so to speak. So we'll connect to our headquarters in London. We'll send out the link. It's a YouTube link. So they'll be streaming live. So I thought it'd be good to just roll out of bed with your coffee in hand or tea, then just switch on YouTube and join the service. So today I'm just going to be carrying on with the series that we started 3 weeks ago called Finding Jesus. But I'm going to look at it slightly differently today. And I've been thinking a lot about, well, a lot of things have been coming to my mind about us as a church, a lot of great things. And what I'm going to be talking about today is God really calling out to us. God really calling out to us. So what I'm going to be talking about today is what I've called people just like you and I. People just like us. People just like us. I'm going to focus on three main sections this morning. And again, it's just going to be time for us to really reflect on our lives, reflect on what God is actually saying to us as individuals, and the possibilities in our lives. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, and I believe this is what God wants us to really focus on. So I said today we're looking at what I've called people just like us. The main text this morning is going to be from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And I'll read. Don't worry if it's not displayed. I'll read from, you can either just follow me, but I'll read anyway. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. It says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their net and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." I've read this portion of scripture loads of times, but 2 weeks ago, when I was just reading through it again, God brought a number of things to my mind and painted a picture of what it was really like for these men that Jesus called and the circumstance. So the first point I noted here was that these men didn't really realize the enormity of what their lives was going to be like. They didn't really know who Jesus was per se. They knew, well, Messiah, rabbi, teacher in the locality of Israel. They had no clue at all that the influence of Jesus through them was going to be far-reaching into the ends of the world, to the point that 2,000 years later, we're still feeling the impact. Hundreds of millions of people feeling the impact. That's the impact that they had. But I want you to just cast your mind back to a couple of people like you and I going about their normal business. They were fishermen. They were by the ocean or by the sea. And to them, it was an ordinary day. Jesus didn't appear in the clouds to them and say, "Follow me." It was like any other day. It's just like you going to work in the morning and you, on your way to work, you're in traffic, and you're like, "Okay, let me just stop by the McDonald's before I go to work, if there's one by your office, that is." and you pull up to the McDonald's, it's like, man, I've got 30 minutes, and you're having lunch. Someone comes and they're sitting at the opposite end and they're like, oh, hi, how are you doing? By the way, follow me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. What will that seem like to you? Nothing extraordinary. I'm not, saying anything at all. Maybe the person has heard, okay, that guy is a preacher somewhere. He's a pastor in that church. Okay, I'll listen to him. And the pastor or the preacher says, oh, just God has something for you and he wants you to follow him. What kind, what will that circumstance be? It'll be very, very ordinary. Nothing extraordinary, nothing, no lights flashing, nobody prophesying. They weren't in the church meeting. There was no music. There was no choir. It was just guys going about their daily business. And Jesus said, look, just follow me. So the first point I'm making is this. Jesus called these guys in a very simple way. So simple that they might have just thought, well, I'll just go for a few Bible studies with Jesus. Seems like an interesting teacher. Maybe that was the extent that they thought. Same thing as us. Jesus is calling you and I today. He has been calling us. Maybe not in a very extraordinary fashion. Maybe just tugging at your heart to say, look, why don't you follow me? Do more. Spend more time with me. Jesus is calling you and I in this very simple fashion. Very simple. So, the second point I want to make this morning is this. These guys had their own issues as well. They were not perfect at all. And you'll have wondered, why would Jesus choose these kinds of people to commit his whole life into their hands? Why did he have so much confidence that these ragtag people, and I'm using that word very loosely, because when these guys were going about preaching, the religious leaders of the day, the guys who were educated, who were like, they were like, man, these guys are just, who are these riffraffs? They didn't say riffraff, by the way. Who are these riffraffs? They're not even educated. Where do they come from? What's their pedigree? Who are these guys? Now, I'm passing that comment because these guys were like you and I, probably even, I'm going to use this word loosely, worse than you and I. So the second point I'm making is this. These guys were like you and I. And they had their issues as well. In fact, if you look at John chapter 18 and verse 10, John chapter 18 and verse 10, I'll read. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it out and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. So this was a guy that had anger issues. I don't know if you've been so, angry or so, I'll use that word, passionate, that you drew out a pen knife and cut off the ear of someone at your office. Have you ever done that before? Or have you ever been in an argument with someone, slapped them on the high street, and started a punch up with them? And people had to call the cops to say, oh please, don't kill him. Have you ever done that before? I don't think so. So that was Peter, the main person. Can you imagine? I mean, if it were you, and you're his pastor, what would you say? You'd be like, man, this guy, just forget it. This guy cannot be trusted with leadership. But Jesus understood something that I'll walk us through this morning. If you look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, Peter saw Jesus walking on water and said, call me, let me just say the word and I'll come. And Jesus said, come. This guy jumped out onto the water and he started walking. And what the Bible told us was this. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. So these guys as well, they're like us, where you wake up in the morning one day and it's like, God, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure I tell one person about Christ every day. I'm going to make sure that my neighbor that, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And you're all fired up. You know, you just heard a sermon from Pastor Benson. And you're like, you draw the line. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And it's Sunday evening. By Wednesday, you're like, man, all these red bills that coming in through the door. How am I going to pay? What's going to happen with the economy? The prime minister has said the energy bills are going up. And you become concerned. You become concerned as well, like Peter. So these guys had grave concerns as well. They were not super duper, if I can use that word, super duper Christians at that point. They were fearful. Some of them had like anger issues. And another one as well, if you look at what's happening to my notepad. So if you look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, Matthew 26 and verse 40. I'm just trying to. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. Jesus was having a really hard time. And he said, guys, spend time praying with me. And he left them and he went to pray. This was at Gethsemane. I mean, this was the peak of his life. He was going to be crucified. And he asked these guys, just pray that God will, you know, just pray alongside. And Jesus came back and he said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. These guys fell asleep. I remember when I became born again in 1996, man, everything church I was in love with. And I got these books about men who God used and how they would pray through the night, how they would do this, do that. So I had all these books. I was get up then. And I remember on a number of occasions, I would say to myself, okay, today I'm back from work. I'm going to pray. I mean, I had someone prayed all night. Tonight is the night for me as well. And I would, you know, get myself up. Then, you know, look at my watch. Let's say like 8 a.m. I'm like, man, I'm going to pray till morning like this guy in the book that I read. And I start praying. God, thank you. I start praying. And I'm like, wow, by now I must have prayed like 3-4 hours. And I look at the time, 10 minutes. I like, there is something wrong here. Okay, and I'm not going to be discouraged. Let me take a break. I'll start again. And I said, okay, this time around, too many distractions that I'm walking around, I'm looking at, I switch off the lights, start praying, and all that. And suddenly, I open my eyes, and it's morning. I was like, what happened? And I realized that probably 10 or 5 minutes into my prayer and I fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning, disappointed. Then I'll do like a repeat. After a while, I did that over and over again. I was like, man, this is not cutting it at all. Like, man, I'm just going to So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that looking at the Bible, these guys experienced it as well. I mean, theirs was even really embarrassing. Can you imagine Jesus coming to wake you up twice? Like Jesus coming into your room and saying, Pastor B, I need you to pray. And you fall asleep. At least mine, Jesus didn't come and tap me. So, but what am I saying? The second point I'm making this morning is this. These guys were just like us as well. They had temperament issues. They had fear. They were anxious about certain things. From a spiritual standpoint as well, they were like, man. So in my mind, I'm just wondering, how could Jesus look at these guys and still carry on with them? Why didn't he just write them off? Why didn't he just say, look, guys, I've had it with you guys for 3 years. Come on. Come on. You know what I mean? All these things we've been through and you guys are still here. I still have to call you in the morning to arrive in church early, text you after 3, 4, 5 years, text you in the morning, oh, are you coming? And all that. Not that I'm, you know, aiming that at anyone at all here. Yeah. You know? Oh, come on. By now, you should be like a pastor or something. Jesus didn't do that. So the first point I made was that Jesus called these guys in a very simple way. Nothing extraordinary. Second point is that these guys had challenges as well. They were people just like us. They were people just like us. So the third point now is this. What happened to these guys? How did they go from the point of simple folk who were just like, you know, really quarrelsome and all that? How did they get to the point where they stood before people who threatened to kill them if they preached the gospel, and they looked them in the eye and said, look, we're going to preach even if you kill us? How did they get to the point where they gave their whole hearts, their whole lives to the gospel? How did they get to the point where they left? Well, let me not say left, where every other thing paled in comparison to the gospel. What happened to these guys? How did they do it? What did Jesus do to them? How did they switch? How? That was a question that I was pondering. Now, one might say, to be like a really super duper Christian, you need to do these things. Just read your Bible regularly, do that, do this, and all that. I know people who read their Bible regularly. I know people who know the Bible from cover to cover. They can quote it. No impact at all. They're still fearful. They're still on the same spot. So if it's not just about reading my Bible from cover to cover, what is it? Someone might say, oh, be a good person. That your neighbor that annoys you all the time. Now that you want to be a proper Christian, don't respond. When they throw the rubbish over the fence, just smile back and say, God bless you. I'm trying to be like Christ. And you do that for a few weeks and you're like, man, this isn't working. I'm as angry as ever. In fact, the next time my neighbor does that, I'm going to, then you remember, oh. So how did they move from where they were to where Christ took them to? How can we as well move from where we are to where, to start this journey of where Christ is taking us? There are a number of things that I noted. And I've grouped these things into a number of categories as well. And the first thing I'm going to look at today is their heart. Their heart. Next week, well, not next week, as we carry on, we'll look at other things. Do you know that even though these guys were angry and all these things, there was something about their heart that set them apart. There was something about their heart, and I'll explain what I mean by their heart, that set them apart, that set them on this journey of transformation. Now, I look at a number of points this morning. So the first thing is this. They made a decision. If you look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, I'll read the first part. It says, as has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So I look at a number of points. I look at 5 points around their heart. So the first thing that happened was that they made a decision. And what was that decision? The decision was that Jesus, we might not really understand the full context of what our life is going to be like, but we're going to make the decision. And the decision we're going to make is that we're going to follow you anyway. We might not have the full picture, but we'll take the first step and we will follow you. Do you understand? So that was the first thing that they did. They made a decision. Now, as we go through these things, you begin to realize that, Pastor Benson, I thought you were going to say something that was theologically groundbreaking. No. Jesus has made following him as simple as ever. A child can follow Jesus. An adult can follow Jesus. You don't have to be in a particular state of mind. You don't have to. Anybody. Jesus has made it in such a way that anybody that chooses to can follow him. So the first point I want to make is this. Moving from point A to Z, the first thing they did was they made a decision. I believe God wants you and I this year to make a decision as well. And that decision, I believe, is what he posed to these guys. He said, follow me. That's it. The other thing that I noticed about these guys is in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The second thing I realized about these folks is that they loved Jesus so much. I mean, Peter was so passionate. It was like, man, if you do anything to Jesus, I'm going to cut your ear off. I'm not going to recommend that, by the way. But it was like, look, if you don't. They really loved Jesus. And there's something that you realize about love, right? The Bible says, when you love someone, well, it makes a big difference. Just imagine, maybe like you just had a child. And that child is like, I don't know, 6 months or whatever. And you carry that child. You're rushing. You're going to work. You've got like your white shirt and all that. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to take my six-month-old baby. I'm not looking in any direction. Not that you guys did that when you were younger. Pick my six-month-old baby, drop them. And as you're going, they just wee all over you. You forgot to wrap their nappy up properly. And they wee all over you. And you look at their face and they're smiling. What do you do? Love overlooks it and says, you know, this child, don't do that next time. And you carry on. Do you understand? These guys love Jesus. And because they loved Jesus, and they were just like, you know what, Jesus, whatever. I mean, sometimes Jesus really scolded them. He's like, we'll just go with it. So they loved Jesus. And because of the love that they had, they were determined to follow him. I look at 3 other points. The third point is from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So the third point we see here is this. Jesus appears, well, calls these guys. They have no idea of where they're going. He just says, follow me. I mean, if you were me, I would have said, okay, no problem. But what's going to happen next year, the year after? Does this? I would have a list of questions. Do I have to get up late at night and stuff? These guys didn't ask too many questions at the start. And I believe the reason why they didn't do that, why they just followed Christ, is what we read from Jeremiah 29:11. They believe that, look, God has a good plan for me. So if Jesus is asking me to follow him, that means he has a good plan for me. So Jeremiah 29:11 that we read just says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So they knew that, look, following Jesus means following a good plan, knowing that God is not going to take me and dump me somewhere, knowing that everything I go through in life, some of them palatable, some of them not too palatable, in the journey with Christ, God will sort everything out. Romans 8:28 says that. It says that God works everything out for the good of those who love him. So these guys realize that, look, following Jesus means following the plan of God and trusting that God's plan for them was a good plan, even if they didn't understand it fully. These guys didn't know what their lives was going to be like. They just followed him. They just followed him. So the third point I'm making this morning, I have two more to make and we will pray, is that they followed him, or they made a decision to follow him. They loved Christ and they knew that, look, God has a good plan. So as I'm going on my journey, consciously making the decision to follow Christ, to follow God, it has to be that I'm going to be going on a good plan. God has a good plan for me. So they believed in the good plan of God. I've come across a lot of people who have had a really tough time. And the question some people will have posed to me, and it's a fair question, is if God loves me, or if God exists, why did this happen to me in my life? Why did this happen to this person? This God you're talking about is not a good God. God doesn't care about me. God is not interested in me. He's just... God clarifies that in Jeremiah 29. He says, look, guys, I am good, and the plans that I have for you are good. Irrespective of what happens to you, I am still good, and I will make good out of it. So these guys believe that God had a good plan for them. The fourth thing, these guys moving from point A to point Z, which is a real challenge, and I think this is a 20th century challenge. And I'll read that from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So the fourth point was that they prioritized Christ above their personal ambitions, above their personal preferences. So we see people who were doing their business, I don't know, they're making money from being fishermen. They had employees as well. So they had stuff that they could get on with. But these guys realized that, look, even though I have stuff that I need to do, even though I have priorities in life, even though I have plans, I am going to prioritize the plans of Christ above mine, even if it appears to be a bit inconvenient. So this is a biggie. I tell you, it is a biggie. And it's something that I believe that we all struggle with. And if you don't yet, don't worry, it will come along your way. And it's the struggle of, look, I've got my career, I've got my children, I've got my parents, I've got this responsibility, I've got that responsibility. Christ, and there's this church stuff. Oh man, which one? What do I do? What do I do? That's a decision, actually, that everyone will have to wrestle with. So, like I said, this is like last message for the year, so something to reflect on. That is something that every single individual will have to struggle with and make a decision about. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. But I can tell you one thing, though. If you're going to follow Christ to the fullest, I'm not saying Christ is saying you should leave your jobs and all that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the priorities of Christ will clash with yours. And you'll have to make a decision time and time again. Now, one thing that just also came to my mind is that, do you know that these guys could have just said, Christ, we're busy, sorry. And Christ wouldn't have been offended. He will have left them. They will have been successful fishermen. They will have carried on with their lives. Christ wouldn't have been angry with them. He wouldn't have been. So let's understand that. He wouldn't have been angry with them. But I'll make a point in a minute. So the point I'm making here is this. The priorities of Christ, we will have to deal with it every single day. Every single day. From little things. Oh, man. The other day, I was like, man, I need to like read this Bible thing that I wanted to do. You know, like, I'm just going to do this. And as I was just, you know, propping up, I have like this book that I got. Like, man, I want to like really spend time reading the Bible and all that. It was like on a Wednesday evening or something. I've mapped out the time. Then I switched on the telly and I went to YouTube. I don't know why, you know, like, well, I mean, evening. Okay, I was going to have dinner. I said, okay, I'm going to have dinner, you know, whatever. I'll just switch on YouTube and all that. Have dinner, you know, watch a couple of musical things, you know, learn some, you know. And as I switched on, there's this series. there's a series that came on. And so these guys, they produce like these Christian movies. They do them in like batches. And these guys, they just never tell you when the next batch is going to come out. They just spring it up on you, you know? And so they're really good actors, you know, really good, you know. So like this gospel movie thing. And as I switched on, they just said, I just saw episode 1 released 5 hours ago. It is a bit funny, right? And at that point, I mean, I finished my dinner, 10 minutes. The decision was now, my goodness, I've been waiting for this thing for months. Do I just, you know, this Bible study thing, God, you know, I mean. It seems a bit funny, right? I said, you know, God, let me just watch this. So, click. Episode 1, about 1 hour, 15 minutes. And I realized that, hang on, this was released, the 5 hours I saw ago, the release I saw was actually episode 2. There's one. I missed it last week. So as I clicked, it was actually episode 1, and episode 2 was there. Another hour, 15 minutes. Oh. You guys don't, this doesn't happen to you. So what am I saying here? That kind of stuff doesn't happen to you, not at all. Now that's a little example. And that evening, I watched episode 1, 2. I said, flipped it, and now saw another one. These guys have done another series. No. Pastor B, switch that TV off now. But what am I saying? That's a little example. You and I mean, that's a funny example. You and I will be faced with choices all the time. Small choices like that sometimes. Sometimes bigger choices. I remember when about 6-7 years ago, we were in West London. I have one more, then I'll close. We're in West London. And we had a house in West London. Our son was in the school. He worked really hard to get into that school, I tell you. I mean, it was like commando preparations. I used to wake him up. I'll leave that bit. I don't want to be like, what, you did that? Work your child up at 4 a.m. every day to study for exams? Well, I did. Worked really hard. He got into that school. His sister as well worked really hard. You know, she was about to start the school as well. I mean, my job was in central London then, and my ambition was like, man, IT guy in the city of London. I was just like, you know, jump on the train. My wife then was like, you know, everything was rosy. We're in the church in London, and I'd just been made a pastor in London. And when you're a pastor at the headquarters church, there are like 20, 30 pastors there. So do you know what it is like on a Sunday when you go to church on a Sunday in London at the headquarters? Let me tell you what it's like. The choir, I'm just giving you a picture. The choir, they're like, I love our choir, by the way. Choir, they're about 100 choir people. They have people playing bass, keyboard, harmonies rolling over the place. And as a pastor in our London church then, loads of people there. When you enter, come on, they're like, good morning, pastor. Have you had tea, pastor? Coffee, pastor? What would you like, pastor? Oh, no, don't sit there, pastor. Sit in front, pastor. What would you like? After the things like, oh, no, this tea and coffee is for the pastors. Do you want this? I mean, it's like, man, you went to church like, oh, man, yeah. By the way, don't you know? I like, oh, yeah, thank you. That's very kind of you. I mean, you were like a, I'm not going to use the word celebrity. We're not allowed to use that word. But things were cool. My boss was like, then God whispers to me that, Pastor Benson, it's Bristol for you, you know. Bristol. I don't know anybody in Bristol. Do you know any? I asked people in the church, do you know anybody in Bristol? They said no. They said we know people in Birmingham. I was like, how does that help me? I'm asking about Bristol, you're talking about Birmingham. how does that help me? So I left it behind. I didn't even think about it. I said, there are like 20 something other pastors here. I've just been a pastor literally for like 7 months. You know, who knows anything about planting a church? Send them their experience, left it. Then our senior pastor, 2 weeks later, calls me into his office and said, Pastor Benson, God says you should go to Bristol. I said, really? I said, thank you, sir. I left. I said, nobody is going to hear this from my mouth. For months, 3-4 months, I didn't tell a single person. My wife would be like, oh, what are you thinking about, Pastor? Oh, nothing, I'm good. We're off to church this morning. At some point, I said, God, enough. Let us go. And we're here. Do you get what I mean? Set up in the morning. I by the way, I love all this, you know, stuff. Set up in the morning. Texting people. Where are you? Aren't you going to set up, play the guitar, grow to the thing? And all that. I had to make a choice. Do I continue living like a celebrity in England, in London? Or come to Bristol and live the way Christ wants me to live? And by the way, that was just a story. I absolutely love Bristol. I wouldn't go back to London now. Yeah, I tell you. But the point I'm making is this. God will ask you sometimes in little ways to make a decision. If you don't, God still loves you. If I was still in London, come on. I'll still be there. I mean, it was like, I'll still be there, and I'm sure everything would be fine. But I can tell you one thing. All the people in the little ways that we've been able to impact with the gospel in Bristol, none of them. When we started, there's a retirement home that we've been going to for 6 years, even before we started the actual meetings here. We're going there every Sunday. One Sunday a month. And I began to realize something, that over that 6 year period, we'd go, me and my assistant here, she'd play keyboard, I'd sing with my Pavarotti voice, average age, 80, 90. We'd have that meeting, short meeting. I'd make tea for them, I'll sit down. All these elderly people were telling me stories. One would tell them, oh, I used to be a pilot. I used to be a truck driver. You, truck driver, you lady? Yeah. We'd have all these stories. And for a lot of those guys, they passed on. I'd come there, I'd be like, I had one really favorite one amongst them. And they said, wow, she passed last week. You understand? There was once I wasn't feeling too good and I sent a message. They were asking the manager that, where is Pastor Benson? I said, I'm sorry. What am I saying? There's so many people that I've met in a little way that I would never have met. So what am I saying? I'm going to end this morning. I'm just making 3 points this morning and we'll pray. So the first point is that the same way these guys were simple, they were men and women like us. The only thing they did was they made a decision to follow Christ. And their lives had an exponential impact. So this morning, what I'm asking us to do, or what I believe God is asking us to do, is to follow him. Go on the adventure with him. And you'll be surprised about how your life will impact those around you in ways that you could never, ever imagine. Now, this isn't a motivational speech talk, but it's one for us to really reflect and say, look, what do I want? You want to play for me, dear? What do I want going into this next year? Do I want to continue with the way my life is, which is fine, God will still love me? Or do I want to just inconvenience myself, in quote, a bit, and begin to see along the path of my life change, positive change, gospel change in the lives of people around me? So that's what I'm going to leave us with this morning. And I'm going to ask that we rise this morning. And it's a time for us to pray. And it's an individual prayer. Our prayer as well. So I just want us to just like reflect and just talk to God this morning. For those who have not been able to make it this morning, I've recorded the message. I will put it on the chat. So it's just for us to reflect this morning and just say, God, I really want to follow you. I'll give us some time, then I'll pray for us as well. Our Father and our King, we thank you for the simplicity of your ways, the simplicity of your word. That even the disciples of those days, you called them in a very simple fashion. There were no lights blazing. There was nothing extraordinary happening. You just called them the same way you're calling us this morning. And Father, I'm asking that you please help us to heed that call. That even as we go about, go to leave this place today, we go about our normal business going on. Help us to know that you can do so much through us if we just make the decision to follow you, to prioritize you above all our own aspirations. Father, this is what we're asking in Jesus' name. Father, I commit everybody that is here into your hands and even those that are not here. I'm asking, God, that you will really make our faith alive to us. Help us to see the impact that we can have, the impact that you can have in our lives. Father, for those who are at this point struggling, who are tired, who have gone through a lot in this year, I commit them into your hands. The Bible says that you're the one that strengthens us. I'm asking that you will strengthen each and every one of them in Jesus' name. For those who are unwell at this time, your word says in Matthew chapter 8, 17 that you bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. I'm asking that you will heal them and that you will touch them. For those who are struggling in their mind, your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, he said that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I speak peace of mind, as your word says in John chapter 14, 27. Peace of mind to everyone, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please, let's be seated for a moment.